Hi, I'm Dan.
And I'm Eric.
And you are due for a sharpening.
That's me.
You watched The Cable Guy?
Yeah.
Okay, so today, the guy that I'm working with until I go to school and everything, he goes, "You ever see The Cable Guy with Jim Carrey?" And it was because we were knocking on a door.
That's funny.
You know, with the, you know, maybe I just shouldn't have come at all.
Right.
Jerk off. Just playing with you. Was it this morning? Let me real quick look at this. Okay, mom, 6:34 a.m. Good morning, Dan. I was pulling up. What the fuck is Gilad?
Oh, that's her fucking workout video.
Okay, so that that must have meant she was looking at it on YouTube.
Right.
I was pulling up Gilad on streaming, and my movie recommendation was The Cable Guy.
All right, get the
so
fuck
that's
out
officially
of here.
Three Cable Guy references today.
That's funny. Yeah, right. We finished it at lunch today, and you brought up scatting, and he does that a little bit. Right.
Salt peanuts. Salt right peanuts.
Matthew Broderick's face.
Matthew Which is close, but
no
cigarette, but that was Luke Wilson.
Oh,
yeah, Luke, he's on the date with her in the fucking.
Oh, yeah.
No, let's deal with our chicken, man.
That was Owen Wilson.
Believe the ad, you see the oh, whatever. Those two,
they're not the same.
Wes Anderson, they're brothers.
Well, yeah, but you know, I'm not you, so shut up.
But you, I mean, you can go to a restaurant and order chicken and yell about it. You wouldn't,
right?
But,
no,
yeah.
Wow. Where's my chicken?
So, scatting went to the.
You look like Dizzy Gillespie.
Yeah.
Salt peanuts. What's the salt peanuts thing, Evan?
Salt peanuts is a Dizzy Gillespie. It's a tune, but it's salt peanuts. He says that. It's like a thing.
There you go. See, Evan is a renowned disco teacher. The school where people go to learn how to be janitors.
Mm-hmm.
When they're little children,
disco janitors,
child janitors.
They're all doing cocaine, and
right, which is next to the school for religious stuttering army carnies, right?
Okay, so
this is what there's a little hockey is a thing that. we talk about when we get to it.
Yep. Hold on.
All right. I just want to remind everyone this is what's been going on, if I may. Okay. I think we're okay. I don't want to roll backwards. I want to go forwards here. So, in order to do that, I got to start backwards.
What
the fuck are you doing?
We'll start with the Horvat trade.
Okay.
We're going to talk a little NHL here. Okay. Not choose to talk. Just stop me whenever the fuck you want. Salt peanuts.
God damn it. I need to swallow my beer.
I don't remember when the trend became getting all these trades out of the way.
The last
week,
minute.
2 weeks, a handful of days prior to the actual trade deadline. Does that take away from the excitement of the league as an NHL? Like if everything was happening on from fucking tomorrow at 6 a.m. to 3 p.m., every trade that was going to happen.
Clusterfuck waiting to happen.
That's just too much.
Yeah.
Okay. So
I understand.
No, fuck the logistics of it. I mean, like, As people sitting there these days when you get a notification on your phone, right?
Oh, like from a media standpoint.
All the trades. So let me just read this real quick. Okay. Bo Horvat gets acquired by the Islanders. there's some smaller ones. Vladimir Tarasenko gets acquired by the New York Rangers for Sammy Blass, Hunter Skinner, some picks. Jacob Magna goes to the Kraken. Ryan O'Reilly, that was kind of a sneaker. Just kind of happened, right? He goes to the Maple Leafs. Julian Gauthier goes to the Senators, and they give up Tyler Mott to the Rangers. Okay, so at this point, we're at February 19th. Like, the deadline's tomorrow, okay? Okay, here, we were talking to Evan earlier about the way that the Coyotes just have not gotten to the point where they have enough contracts on board where they stop eating up dead contracts in order to meet the salary cap floor. So they actually received Shea Weber's contract.
Really?
And the reason you do this, Evan, not only to get that is because, like, okay, they acquired a fifth round pick to do that. Hey, sometimes this shit works out. Like, what was it, 2 years ago, Eric? We got the Red Wings got Mark Stahl from the Rangers and a second round pick.
Right. Because we basically
took his contract.
Yeah.
And he was a pretty good defenseman for the Wings for 2 years.
Yeah.
And you got a fucking second round pick, which I believe we already used. Can't remember what we used it on. Could have been Dmitry Buchelnikov, which hopefully is, we're going to see his ass in American pants sooner than later. Okay, so the Senators moved again. They sent Nikita Zaitsev to the Blackhawks for future considerations. So to me, sending Zaitsev a second-round pick and a fourth-round pick all to the Hawks for future considerations.
Yeah,
they had to help big time in getting Chychrun.
Right.
Okay, so we're not to spoil it, but Jacob Chychrun is involved with this Ottawa shit, okay? Josiah Slavin, is that Jacob Slavin's mom? She went to... Ducks from wherever the fuck she was playing. Okay. Now you're getting into some stuff. Okay. So, Dmitry Orlov in a three team trade goes to the Bruins, with Garnet Hathaway from Washington.
Yep. And then what is it? Arizona got a third pick from Minnesota.
Well, no, Minnesota was the third team in that.
They got the Rangers' third pick. That's what it was.
No, they got a fifth round pick.
Fifth?
What the fuck are you talking about the Rangers? I'm talking about the Bruins and the Capitals.
I don't know, dude.
Yeah. Let me retool this whole thing.
Yeah.
Fuck me. Okay, what the hell are you thinking?
Let's take this thing right back to Cable Guy. We're going to start over. Okay. We're going to do a little overage. Okay. So the Bruins also got Shane Bowen. So they're making some small moves. The point is, okay, the Jets get Nino Niederreiter. The Jets are kind of a good sleeper.
The point is,
Gurianov and Dadonov got traded for each other. Ivan Barbashev, that was a good pickup by the Golden Knights. If you remember, Ivan Barbashev, I believe, broke.
Yeah.
What the fuck's that guy's name? I liked him. I always thought he would. He's Jake Walman potentially Jake Walman. I don't know if anyone's seen Jake Walman lately, but it'd be hard to compare him to anyone lesser than who he's become. But the guy I'm talking about starts with a G. He's on the Colorado Avalanche. Ivan Barbashev broke his sternum in the playoffs last year with a body check into the boards. And he's a big son bitch. So the Knights get him. They make themselves even bigger. Timo Meier, bam, big trade, goes to the New Jersey Devils along with a fuck ton of other things and people in exchange for a fuck ton of other things and people as well going to the Sharks. You got some small stuff like Jack Johnson leaving the Avalanche. Tanner Janot, that was a big one because he was in the Calder race a little bit last year, correct?
Yeah, that was the one that was insane when I saw it. How many? They gave up like five picks for that, right?
Okay, so they got Cal Foot, which is a good get. But yeah, they got here's the thing. Is it just me or is this protected, unprotected pick shit just
popped up
this year?
It seems like it did.
Yeah, because it's becoming a thing.
I've seen conditional first round picks or conditional picks, period. But I didn't think that they ever correlated with depending on what, and the way that Ken Daniels described this earlier was if the Islanders do well enough, or no, sorry, bad enough to get in the top 12, they can decide if they use their pick or not, which is like, you fucking traded it. How do you get any say over what happens to it after that? That makes no sense.
Right. And the only reason it does make sense is because if you're already in a position, maybe not. I don't know, man. The whole point is if you opt not to do it, the only gamble in protecting a pick is that it becomes unprotected the following year.
Right.
Now, this year, you're sort of in an understanding of where your pick is going to end up already, right? So if you're making a push for the playoffs because you get fucking Bo Horvat,
right?
As the Islanders did, and in exchange, part of what you give to Vancouver in this case is a protected first round pick. Okay. Now, whether that, because that did get flipped to the Red Wings for Filip Hronek, doesn't matter. It's still via the Islanders.
Right.
Right. So yes, protected means that it's a, okay, top 10 protected, whatever the fuck. I don't understand how the teams decipher that. Like, do you just put a cap on it yourself where you're like, okay, it's top 12 protected because we're pretty sure
right.
we won't fall below 12.
Yeah.
So go ahead and do whatever the fuck you want with it. But if we do fall then below 12,
we get to keep it.
We get to keep it if we want to.
Right.
But if we do want to,
then you get the another caveat one.
Is that you get the same pick next year, except we don't get the option of protecting it. So in the long run, let's say the way it works out is that the Islanders this year fall right in the cusp of their protected pick, like at 12. And they tell Detroit, which in this case they would tell Detroit, not Vancouver, because Vancouver traded it to Detroit for Hronek. They would say, okay, we're going to actually pick this year because we like a guy at 12 and we could really use this guy. Okay?
Right.
And the Red Wings say, okay, that's your prerogative, but next year we get the pick unprotected, right? Okay, so they do that. The Islanders pick whoever the hell they want at 12. Next year, the Islanders have a bad year. Okay. They get lottery help. They find out, and their stupid fucking fans find out that they moved up to third in the draft. Can't protect that shit now, can you? Can't opt out of it. Would you have rather kept your first round pick the following year? Of course you would.
Because
that's the way that the fucking cookie crumbled, right? That's the way that goes.
Which is why it's obvious that any team that trades away a protected first round pick doesn't want to use it that year because they're obviously trying to go for a cup. Just like the Bruins, when we just traded Tyler Bertuzzi, we got a protected first round pick from them, but we already know how that's going to go because they're the best team in the league right now.
Right. And good for Bert in that case.
Yeah. Obviously. I mean, fuck, I hope he wins a cup. That'd be sweet.
Yeah. Can't really root for the Bruins. Nope. But
even though my roommate is a Bruins fan. Sorry, well, Jeff.
No one's perfect.
Fuck them. Yeah.
But, well, we've seen Jeff shoot the puck. So,
oof.
The thing is, though, when you're okay, so now it's just there's just more what subtlety to making a trade. So let's say in theory you'd be like, well, why the hell would anyone ever trade a pick? Not why would you just give an unconditional pick to someone in a trade if you without approval or I mean every trade has to be approved by the league, but it's not that crazy, right? So, like, why would a team ever give up an unconditional pick where they go, here's the damn pick. I don't have the option to take it back if I like where we fall this year.
For like one of the top five players in the league.
More shit, yeah. Right? That's what it comes down to. Okay, so again, that there's just more subtlety in the way you trade now.
Right, there's a lot of nuance to it.
Right. So back to where we were, Tanner Janot received from the Lightning, Cal Foote, a 2025 top 10 protected first round pick. So there's your first rounder right there. A 2024 second round pick, 2023 third round pick. So now you're getting into this. So essentially this year, what Nashville is going to get out of this is Cal Foote, a third rounder, a fourth rounder, and a fifth rounder.
Still pretty good.
In the zeitgeist of hockey fandom, I really hope that people haven't written off the Lightning.
Yeah.
Because as it turns, there still hasn't been a cup final in the last 3 years that they've not been a part of. So you can't just assume that they're out of it.
Right. But, and Braden Point's on a tear this year. Like, he's playing out of his mind. So they're going to be ready going into the playoffs. And I would be really surprised if they don't make it to the finals again, at least to the conference.
And you saw the way that the last good game Detroit played was against the Lightning. They put up 45 shots.
Yeah.
Kept the Lightning to what, 19 or so?
Yeah.
And Vasilevsky was vintage Stonewall.
Yep. He wasn't letting anything through.
Berlin Wall Vasilevsky. Right. So, I mean, someone asked me today, this is a shout out to you, but I won't give you the satisfaction of even naming you. So maybe you can give me better reviews next time, you prick. He said, can anyone stop the Bruins? And I said, a hot goalie, maybe. I mean, that's usually what it comes down to. But goddamn, are the Bruins doing what the Bruins are doing. Fuck.
Yep.
And they beefed the hell up.
Yep, they're going for it. They got Orlov. They got Burt. I mean, Pastrnak.
Hathaway.
Pastrnak just got signed.
The energy you get just by, like, Hathaway and Burt going, you know, lines 1 through 4. Tyler Bertuzzi, I don't know if any, for Boston fans, I know we play each other 3 times a year, but they're so spread out.
Yeah.
You know, Tyler Bertuzzi is so versatile. He can play up and down the lineup however you want him. You know, he's one of those rare guys who is, he belongs in the top six, but he's not foreign to the type of hockey you play on the third and fourth line, you know? So it, you know, it warrants what was given up to get him, especially if you're eyeing Lord Stanley's Cup. I mean, this is like, what better timing for the Bruins to have? You got some guys that are getting older and you better do it. I mean, fuck, man. I guess there people can look back and go, what the hell happened the last time they had the opportunity and they didn't pull it off against St. Louis? What was that, 2018? 19? 19, right? Because it went Capitals, Blues, the next one.
Yeah, I think it was 19.
Up after that. Either way. The Lightning. Yeah, so they, you know, the Bruins were there and it didn't work out. So now it's like you're doing some really good things to get yourselves in a position to win the Stanley Cup. So if anyone's going to step in front of them, they're going to have a hot goalie. And if it's the Lightning, man, they figure that this is worth the fucking acquisition of this kid. And, you know, Tanner Janot, having the rights to him is great. Because it's not like this is a rental or anything. I mean, he's a pending restricted free agent.
Right. Big, he's going to be on their team for a while.
But what the Lightning gave up for him, and then what for Brendan Hagel last year, 2 first-round picks.
Yeah, they basically fucked themselves on drafting for the next like 5 or 6 years.
Right.
But
you hope that they can. But look at all the assets they have. I mean, if you got to flip people for good draft picks.
You get so quickly.
Most, their entire top six, if not a little bit beyond that, can all grab first round picks, at least one of them per.
If you traded Kucherov, which you would probably never do, but you could get two first rounders for him.
Yeah. Yeah. So you just keep going on that. So you set yourself up for like a self-feeding perpetual system where, but it all starts with, it's not just good drafting, which it is. Kucherov is a great example of good drafting.
Yeah.
But when you get Hedman and Stamkos to start the whole thing off, we could talk about that for,
seconds. Makes it a lot easier to fill in the lines.
Which I think we will. Yeah. So then you've got Jake McCabe goes to the Maple Leafs from the Hawks. So the Hawks are just blowing the fuck up.
Right? Oh, yeah. They're done.
They were done last year. They still get the Seth Jones thing. Speaking of, they traded Max Domi to the Stars today. Yep.
And Taze isn't going to play for like the next 10 seasons or whatever. So
right.
Their goose is cooked.
Old Chicago goose recipe. Jesse Puljujärvi finally left Edmonton.
Good for him.
For a handful of things, or one thing rather, another Finn went to Carolina. So Carolina's still in the hunt, did really good things in the summer. So we'll see where they go. I am glossing over a couple trades here. Marcus Johansson goes to the Wild. So Washington's kind of blowing some stuff up. I still would really like, maybe not, it's got nothing to do with this year, like some sort of push, but to, I'm just throwing it out there again, like as a Wings fan, I think if the Capitals are selling, getting Tom Wilson on the Red Wings would be fucking awesome. And I bet we can get him for a pretty reasonable price too.
Well, we have two players
for the future.
We have two players that play that type of game. One of them's injured and the other one sucks. So it's kind of an inevitable thing that we're going to have to go out and get some dude like Tom Wilson, if not Tom Wilson.
Yeah. And
so Steve Yzerman, when you listen to this podcast, as you always do, right. Make sure.
Actually, we were going to have him on.
Right, yeah, he canceled like the last second.
Half, but no, he didn't. I mean, we told him, I was like, dude, we're a little.
Oh, yeah.
I had like some spaghetti and
just didn't sit well.
So it just wasn't the time for an Yzerman interview. So the Leafs got Erik Gustafsson from Washington again for Rasmus Sandin, who we all saw in that video. It's part of the game. You get pulled mid-practice. You're not practicing with the team anymore because you don't belong to us anymore. You're gone. The Leafs got Luke Shen. So the Leafs are fucking bulking up big time. The Oilers, they got Matthias Ekholm, which is a big get on defense.
That's a good one. So they have two Predators, good D.
They also gave up Tyson Barrie, who was a big part of their, a rushing two-way right-handed defenseman. I would say Ekholm's just got way more like just grit to his game though.
Well, yeah, there's that. And, I think they're going more for the stay-at-home defenseman because they have plenty of offense on the front end. So they don't really need to
stay at home. Line. You can stay at home all you need and guys are going to get it.
Right.
Fuck up. I mean, McDavid's got 52 goals and 112 points at this point.
It's fucking crazy.
That's one player, but he is having a hell of a breakout. Yeah, he still has
20 games left.
Just in time for
the first round.
His part to decide that they don't want to stay in Edmonton. And we all know where they're both assigned. So,
the Kings.
Everyone, just log in, use your 97 and 29%, whichever one you feel is fair, off codes on our website, and you will get your Connor McDavid Detroit Red Wing jersey. And as a gift, it'll only cost you twice the amount to get a Leon Draisaitl Detroit Red Wing jersey. So just remember those codes that made sense that I said earlier.
Shipping may take 1 to 3 decades. So, you know, prorate
unless that it actually shit. Happens, in which case you can't get those jerseys on our website. We don't really sell those.
Right. We'll make them for you. They won't be good though. Well, it's
just a cease and desist kind of that we would get. So we're just going to cease and desist now.
It's not even going to start.
Patrick Kane went to the New York Rangers after
throwing his hissy fit.
Just being, bitchy about, I was going to go to the Rangers. Right. And then he goes to the Rangers. So, dude, they didn't give up shit to give up fucking Tim Seguin or Patrick Kane. What kind of favors are these teams doing these assholes?
Oh, we know. You know what they're doing.
God, dude.
Backdoor shenanigans.
Real gentlemen use the front back door. So, the Jonathan Quick saga.
Yeah.
He's bounced from one team to another.
Yeah, so he got traded to Columbus, and then they traded him to Vegas. Yeah. And I heard that the Kings were not very happy that he got traded at all.
Neither was he.
Right, because it was kind of out of left field and hadn't been talked about or anything. So just poor management on their part.
I guess it was just a way to, I mean, Los Angeles, the other Las Vegas and Vegas, Los Angeles and Vegas aren't going to trade each other goaltenders and shit.
Right.
Right.
You're going to see him next week.
Yeah. So Columbus had to pull a little bit of a slow, fast one, which is good, you know. So now Vegas just gets a little bit of padding, no pun intended, with, a really good freaking goalie, a 2-time cup winner. Is he a medalist? Was Quick on that? No, that was a little bit before his time. Either way, Jonathan Quick, very proven goaltender. Lars Eller leaves the Capitals. You know, there's no reason after the Caps trade all the shit away that we can't get Tom Wilson for a very reasonable price. Yeah. Fucking Zadina and
pick one. That's it.
Shane Gostisbehere gets picked up by the Hurricanes. Okay. Not bad. Third round pick. I mean, while the iron's hot, it just sometimes teams just have to move on and you don't really have a choice or something. So now we get to what happened today. What did you see today? Or what was your reaction to the Hronek trade?
The Hronek trade, I kind of saw the writing on the wall. I mean, the last few games were not his best. And I think Mom is right. She said that he hasn't been the same since Reeves knocked his lights out. And I would agree with that. Because he
was on a hell of a roll prior to that.
But, you know, with overconfidence comes carelessness. So he definitely earned that. But yeah, I saw it coming in a few different ways.
He's still going to end up with like maybe 50 points.
Yeah, this year. It's going to be it's a great season overall. But I just think that with his size, we need more grit on our blue line, on our op. Like, we just need more grit overall. We need someone who can, you know, take a guy like Brad Marchand and just.
Just use his fucking face as toilet paper.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
So we don't really have.
Bert will be doing that together for fun now.
Oh, yeah. We were talking about that earlier. They're going to, you know, they really hate each other and have for years. So I think they may have to get something out in practice before they start playing together.
Yeah, could be. But, you know, the second that you're that person's on your team.
Well, yeah, obviously.
You know, hockey players know that, man, it sure is fun to be on a line with someone who knows how to play the game.
Right. And that way, and they both play very similarly. So, yeah.
And then, you know, we had Jacob Chychrun got traded, as we alluded to earlier, which brings. So there's other teams that are anyone else who's on the side of the sellers are going to understand this. So whether we talk about our team, you know, you we're not mentioning the names of the players that you were attached to and you watch get traded because the timing just finally fell into place. But you get it. Okay. We, you know, Detroit was at a place, what, a week and a half ago, where legitimately we're like actually touching a playoff spot.
Mm-hmm.
And man, was that just this weird excitement that, I mean, we all probably forgot what it was like to actually be in the playoff hunt.
Well, yeah, right? To actually care about the standings and focusing on points, like 2 or 4 points at a time.
Yeah.
We haven't experienced that in a while.
But because of how close it was, how tough the East is right now, and now that we can equate everything statistic-wise in sports and analytics and everything, turns out the Wings had the second most difficult schedule for the rest of the year.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, it just really would have had to like win almost completely out to get to the playoffs, which would have been a great experience, even if you get fucking smoked in the first round.
Yeah, it's something. Which
probably would have happened. It's right. Something, right? So it was so exciting for that little bit. And then we have this monolithic test against a team who's essentially our peer, or we would like to think they are. We play the Senators 2 times in 2 nights and they just smoke us. We don't look like us at all, right? I mean, there's some writing on the wall, like you were saying before. Yeah. It's not really about like, oh, Hronek had 2 shitty games and that's why you trade him. To the contrary, if that was the way people thought, then Vancouver wouldn't be calling for him and being like, hey, I'll give you a first rounder and a,
right,
you know, a whatever the hell the other pick was.
But it was the last straw for Yzerman to make the decision finally.
Right. Because it didn't seem like, okay, if we can't hack it against a team that's 4 points below us in the standings,
right,
because they have a different makeup. Obviously, again, those games, if anyone saw them, Ottawa just beat the shit out of the Red Wings.
Yeah.
Especially the first game. I mean, it was just run and gun, smash and bash, hard hits. I will say the refs were
sucked.
Awful. They were fucking terrible that game.
They're
they
brutal.
Were really bad. They called Detroit, well, we had 6 or 7 penalties for dog shit. I don't know how many charging penalties.
We had a boarding had and a charging penalty that game, and they charged us probably, I don't know, 25, 30 times.
Yeah, a lot. Like 4 or 5 times that legitimately could have obviously been 2-minute penalties, right? So it just wasn't meant to be there, but it doesn't matter. I mean,
we still couldn't figure it out.
The traction just wasn't there because even the guys on our team that can take and give a hit, which by the way, should be everyone, it just didn't seem like it was something they were expecting to happen.
Yeah.
So guys were kind of had a little puck panic, you know, where you're in the corner and someone's coming hard. Brady Tkachuk probably is one of those guys who will like make a banshee scream on his way to hitting you just to really see if he can scare the shit out of somebody.
Yep. Oh yeah. He's a psycho.
Yeah. I mean, that's the fun guys. You come down like, I'm gonna hit you. And then he hits you, you know, bam. Right. He fucked a lot of guys up. And so did the rest of the team. Austin Watson, that wife beaten toothless fuckhead.
Fucking piece of shit.
Yeah, exactly. So he was out there doing whatever the hell he wanted. Game 2 started out the same as game 1. The Red Wings score first.
Mm-hmm.
There's a little bit more of a reaction, a response from Detroit with the hitting and shit. But just, again, a lot of, I don't know what it is, Detroit, when they're not playing right, they give up this one play that results in either a breakaway, a partial breakaway, or a bad odd man rush, and it's like someone up the right side is pinching.
It's
That was Hronek a lot of times.
Yeah,
those two games.
Hronek, and I will say Moritz Seider had a couple bad games there because he even did it tonight once or twice. He pinched at the red line trying to hit a dude, which I get it because you're trying to come back at them with what they've been giving to you. So you're like, I'm going to hit this dude, but it's not the right time to pinch in the neutral zone. and you don't even hit the guy because he anticipates it and he passes it off and boom, yeah, you got a fucking breakaway right away.
That's the frustrating part about things not going right for your team. I mean, okay, Derek Lalonde, the coach of the Red Wings, has probably said this more than he said anything, and it's to take risk out of one's game. And what that means is when people are kind of cheating for offense, let's say, at an offensive standpoint, let's take Lucas Raymond, okay? You can go out of your way to try and create offense, but it probably means that you are abandoning your post. And if the luck doesn't happen where you knock a puck out of the air because somebody's just chipping it up the glass, guess who's where you should be?
Right.
Someone on the other team, and they're catching that pass. I mean, and the speed of the game today is so remarkable that there's no way you can make up for that shit, you know?
Right. So you kind of have to sacrifice that possible offensive break for, let's just hold down the fort and make sure nothing bad happens. And eventually shit will go well if we just play solid defensively.
Right. Because you are talented enough to make it happen.
Right.
But it'll happen because it came from solid defense. Like you said, that is kind of hard to push into people's heads when things aren't going well. And it's especially hard to get a whole team to buy into it at once when things aren't going well.
Right.
And you can see that happening. So the point I'm trying to make is that the Wings are tiny, tiny, tiny making this playoff push because they got into position because they played a really good West Canada road trip, all Canada road trip. It was a fucking great time, you know, got like what, 11 or so out of possible 14 points. And then you get shut out by the Lightning, but you have a lot of good takeaways from it. And Michael Rasmussen gets injured.
Yeah.
Now, Matt
screwed us.
Matt Rasmussen has been a metronome for the Red Wings all year and last year. He's really come into his own. He's a pest, but he's big. He finishes all of his hits. Even when the Wings aren't playing well, he's the only guy you can see out there who's like, he makes it a point.
Well, he's constantly
his checks,
moving his feet. Yeah, he's always getting behind some dude and trying to just bother him. He is a pest.
He's smart. Good at it. He makes good plays. He's got, you know, good enough hands to make in tight passes on odd man rushes that he also causes.
Right.
Right. And as you pointed out, he, over the last like 3 years, it finally stuck with him to keep his feet moving.
Mm-hmm.
If he keeps his feet moving, let's say you're on the, you're in your own zone. You're on the half wall, on the hash mark of the circle. Okay. And he's going to have a puck race with someone else. He's 6'6", right? So not only are his legs long, but he's got a giant fucking wingspan with that stick of his, right? So if he beats someone to the puck because his feet keep moving, he banks it off the boards and his feet keep moving, he is going to 100% of the time beat the other guy to the puck that he just passed himself.
Right.
Off the boards because his feet are moving. Now, in the same light, he's using this to fool goalies, right? So he's shooting mid-stride, which goalies don't, you know, it's way harder for you to set and think that the guy's about to shoot. So he's just turned into a real total package as a guy who can play the wing on any line, but really might turn out to be one of the best third-line centers in the league because he's been getting really good at faceoffs too. The point of all of this and his drive, his pesky ass play, when he goes down with an injury, it really seemed to take a lot of wind out of the Red Wings wings.
I mean at this point, with how important his absence has been so far, he's, you know, this generation's Chris Draper. Like, he's got those
types of...
Right when he's playing at his best, he can do the, he can be the depth third line scorer. He can hammer on the other team and just get them off their game. You know, he, once in a while, he'll drop the gloves if he really has to, but most of the time he's good enough to just bother a guy till he takes a nice cross check in the back of the head, and then he'll just walk away.
And, you know, when it comes to like the standout importance, you could really make an argument that he has been the Red Wings' most consistent player all season long.
Definitely.
Other
than Dylan Larkin.
And Larkin, for what Larkin is expected to do, it's not easy.
No.
Especially, you know, we talk about Bertuzzi getting traded, but he wasn't playing a lot this year. He got injured way too often, so he's not on Larkin's line. So, you know, the fact that Larkin was picking up those goals and doing what he was doing without his normal line, which, you know, the better players in the NHL thrive because they're on lines with the better players in the NHL. Right. It's the way that works. It still comes down to, I think that Olimata maybe is the other guy you could say really has been like the most consistent player from the first drop of the puck.
Yeah, he hasn't really changed much
alongside of Michael Rasmussen. So he goes down, and the Wings run into these two awful games, and it all but concludes, okay, I guess we are going to sell at the deadline. But there's so many things that come with selling when you're at this position. Every year for the last 7 years, the Red Wings have been sellers.
But we've had nothing to sell. That's the difference.
Not something quite like this. The last time I would say was like the Mantha trade.
Yeah.
But because the Mantha trade was 3 years ago at this point, and he came from the same draft year as Tyler Bertuzzi, that's three less years you had on his tenure with the Wings for people to get attached to him. So Tyler Bertuzzi and Filip Hronek for sure were some pretty beloved fan favorites. And not only fan favorites, but you have team relationships. You have these guys have roots where they are. You know, Tyler Bertuzzi started a family in Detroit. But the timing is just, it's unfortunate, but it is the way it is. I mean, with the Wings, you sign Larkin. That was a success. I think you sign Larkin to an 8-year deal in spite of the fact that he's almost 28 and the rest of 27 yet. Dylan Larkin?
Yeah, he's my age.
You're 27.
Not yet.
Well, you will be.
Yeah, but he's younger than me.
How is he young? How is he 26?
He turns 27 in like June or something.
If he's a UFA.
July 30th.
July 30th. So he would be a UFA at the end of the season because of.
Yeah.
Is that because his contract like started earlier than normal?
But wouldn't that make him, wouldn't that make him 28 in whatever? The point is that the way that the rule is in the NHL is that you are UFA once you're either 27 years old or you've played 7 years in the league.
Right. And this is his 8th year. That's why.
And they may have, in the last couple of years, they may have finally changed that to the 8-8 rather than 7-7. 27-7.
Yeah, it's 28 and 8 years.
I apologize for the bad age fuckery of Larkin's life. But you get what I mean. So in spite of the fact that he is the age that he is and the rest of the Red Wings elite, would-be elite core are much younger than him, we still sign him to an 8-year extension. There's a handful of reasons that that happened, and Bertuzzi alongside did not happen. Now, I think the number one goal was to sign Bertuzzi, obviously. But at this point, they hadn't spoken to each other. The two factions hadn't spoken since like October.
Yeah.
About the contract. So if that's not coming up, I mean, Yzerman doesn't want to risk losing, you know, it's the oldest game in the book. You don't want to risk losing a player of that caliber.
For nothing.
For nothing, because if you're that far apart on negotiations, then it doesn't sound like it would be that hard for someone else to pay a little bit more and he walks, right? Right. And then you lose him for nothing. So we trade him for a conditional 2024 first round pick and whatever the hell the other pick
fourth was. Round pick.
Fourth rounder of 2025. Okay. And which remains to be seen whether that's actually going to be sitting around by the time that draft actually happens, unless we're just going to
count it.
Iserman might be, count it. He might be throwing shit together to try and bring a nice stud. They're studs. Dan, I wouldn't get them if they weren't studs.
Dan loves studs. So,
I love studs. Love studs.
Love studs.
That's those the name of my new
stud.
Turquoise and leather shop in Mesa, Arizona.
Your haberdashery?
Yeah, but we'll be out of business in a week's time. Right.
S-T-U-D-Z.
Studs.
Haberdashery starts with a Z.
Okay.
So the point is, those things come down the pipeline, and those are your factoids to deal with Tyler Bertuzzi's situation. How many players do you want where it turns out you are kind of squandering their best years on a team that's not even playoff ready yet?
Not many. So,
not many. You don't want to deal with that. And in a lot of ways, through loyalty, you're doing someone a favor. I mean, no one can say, I'm sure Tyler Bertuzzi was upset when he found out what happened. But in the grand scheme of things,
he just went from a
team that was going to miss the playoffs to someone who's on a record setting season.
Yeah.
Practically, and has the best odds to win a Stanley Cup.
And I think the difference was in the contracts anyway, is that Bert kind of had that little bit of an openness to his ability to stay on, because, you know, as good of a player as he was, we need Larkin because he's our captain. We can't just ship him off.
Right. Some people might marginalize that notion.
Right. Well, and I get it, but like Bert was he was our only way out of having two giant contracts and then 2 years from now having to add three more giant contracts in Mo or Raymond and maybe Berggren. I don't know.
Yeah, for sure. You want to space it out because that's how that works. Too many teams, I think, if you have enough good draft luck, you're going to sign guys what they deserve. You're not going to be able to fit in four contracts that all go the mega 8-year thing. I mean, it started a handful of years ago where it was like, you know, if you got two guys that are on that top 9, 10, whatever the hell it used to be, now it's 8 under the CBA, you know, 8's the most you can go, 8 years, that is. You know, a team that was sitting pretty out of the draft, you had two guys that you signed for that long time. And they were that's your captain and one of your alternate captains, right? Some teams got more lucky and they had like three of those guys,
right?
But certainly you couldn't handle four or five all at the same fucking time, right? It's just not gonna happen.
Yeah.
Which is a nice problem to have, but there's just so many ways you can go about the whole thing. But with the Wings, like you said, Eric, the thing about, and I've seen this online, Reddit, freaking Instagram, different, you know, comments or people's, the octopus thrower, that fucking garbage, you know, where it, the whole thing, you don't just pay someone because they're your captain. Well, you making them the captain of the Detroit Red Wings in the first place, right?
There was a reason for that.
It kind of told people that when the time came, you were down to pay the money for that captain,
right?
We do not have trivial interim captaincies on the fucking Red Wing.
Right. There's a reason we didn't have a captain for a couple seasons, and that's exactly the reason.
because it was make up my mind for me.
Right.
And there will be no, you know, shadow of a doubt. And that's exactly what happened. You're not going to have Larkin captain for 3 years and then you're going to ship him off.
Right.
We don't have trivial ass captains. Okay. So Larkin is going to be a captain till he retires.
Right.
That is the goal.
And this season was a great way to exemplify why that's the case, because he is our best player by far. You know, he leads the team in scoring and points in general. He leads the team in goals scored to open the game, which is a huge thing. The league. Yeah. So like and just the way that he plays every single game.
All-star again.
Heart. Yeah. What is this? Third all-star? Yeah,
third or fourth all-star. Probably third.
Yeah. So yeah, he's made a huge case for himself, and going forward, he's the guy that we need to lead all the young kids coming in and show them what it's like to play for the fucking Red Wings.
Right. And this shit's important to him. I mean, I don't know if you guys saw the press conference today.
Yeah,
it was tough. You know, he's extremely close friends with Tyler Bertuzzi. He did say that this was the toughest day in his hockey life as far as the business aspect of things go. But even more so, it now shows that he has been chosen to lead this new crop into a better position. And again, you know,
it's a crop.
It's so hard to be good and competitive. And it's an entire another thing to win a championship.
Yeah.
In the NHL. I mean, all the planets and stars have to align. You have to have done so many things right. You have to get so lucky. And honestly, with the Red Wings, the thing that Steve Yzerman has to deal with every day is that I would say the only thing that's absolutely certain thus far, which that takes away the concept of it being absolutely certain, because I say thus far, right? There's another freaking caveat. What seems certain right now is that the Wings have their number one defenseman of the future, Moritz Seider. Okay. The rest of it, in order to compete in this league, you need multiple 20 to 25 plus goal scorers on your offense. You need a couple real golden children who can be up there in the scoring race. Hey, have fun with it. Man, you know, try to fucking win the scoring title.
Right.
We don't have anything close to that. But we had a Calder winning defenseman who was 20 years old.
Yep.
And that's what you're going off of. I mean, Lucas Raymond may someday be a guy who can pop in 35 plus goals. We really hope so.
Yeah.
Because we're not getting any worse and getting any closer to drafting any higher than we drafted Lucas Raymond. I mean, we had some of the worst lottery luck you can have when we were dwelling in that, you know, NHL basement. So, I mean, that's got to be on Yzerman's mind all the fucking time. Like, in an ideal world, my captain is my second center. We don't have that like elite first center. Do we have a winger who can score 35 plus goals? Well, do we have anyone who can hover around the 90 point mark?
Maybe, but he's fucking benched.
Yeah. Jacob Vrana is a very interesting thing. We might wake up tomorrow and see that he's been traded. But I don't see Yzerman being okay with the return on that.
No, because no one even knows what he's worth yet.
Right. No one's going to give up a first rounder. No one's probably going to even give up a second rounder. We are not so fucking hard up after shedding some salary, by the way.
Right. That we can't keep him around and see what he's worth.
Right.
Which we should, because we've seen very little, almost nothing of him. And what we have seen is great, but obviously with his comeback, it's a slow going process. So
yeah, and he's got a whole other level of Nugent, shit to earn.
Derek Lalonde, fucking play the guy.
Yeah, please.
We already suck. Just let him play. Who cares?
Almost entirely for the aspect of it just being something slightly different.
Right.
To see a guy we haven't seen all year in the lineup.
Yeah, it's like we just got a trade.
Flashes of Quincy. We have memories of what he's capable of.
Yeah.
So you get excited. Oh, fuck, he's got the puck. But it's like you need to roll. He cannot just play a game and then get fucking kicked out again.
15 minutes in the last 8 months. So we need to see more from him.
Yeah. Because especially when, all right, this is yet another year. We had that tiny little bit of hope that we might make a run for the playoffs. And in three games, it was all but killed. Right. Yeah. So the reality is now starting the game tonight against the Kraken, you could tell there was a bit of a somber feeling in Little Caesars Arena. There was a bit of a somber feeling with the players. There certainly was with the broadcasters and the pregame and everything. And hockey reflects life in so many ways. And this is certainly one of the harder ways in which it does, because you lose someone you care about, a couple people you care about, who in a perfect world, I mean, maybe sometimes you have to be reminded of the loftier goals, because how many of us seemingly would have been okay if Bertuzzi just stuck around for the rest of his career as a Red Wing, even if doing so passed up whatever opportunities are currently out there that we have gained by trading his rights away, you know, but you're just happy to have him on the team. You like him, but does that impede what could possibly happen? Are we down with mediocrity just because we're, you know, rewarding loyalty? I mean, that's what we gave shit to Ken Holland about for the last 5-6 years of his tenure as the Red Wings general manager. Justin Abdelkader bringing guys back for a second or third fucking time. Like, it gets old. So obviously you want a little bit of a reminder. Okay, fuck the reminder. You don't get a press conference. You don't get shit. Yzerman just does it. Yep. And that's what you deal with. Okay. But, you know, it's still tough. So in that arena on TV tonight, it seemed like things were a little bit down in the dumps. And then, bam, Ben Chiarot scores a goal, right? Yeah. Hey, there's nothing.
You completely forget that any of that shit even happened.
There is no cure to your reality ails like winning.
Yeah.
And the you know, pursuit of winning, which in this case is scoring some goals. I still have to watch the third period. So
me too.
I think all of you probably do. All of us do. But the Wings were hanging in there. Looks like a fun time to be out there as a fan, as a player. Things move on. But, you know, there's so much more depth to this whole thing than just watching guys play. And that's why I don't understand when people are like, I don't know what you expect, but there are Wings fans out there that, unless they're like Andy Kaufman level, just want to fuck with people and they're not serious. You know, they're posting shit on Instagram and Reddit and Facebook and wherever the fuck they spend all their angry ass time. You know, trade the whole team away. Everybody sucks. Well, I don't know. Am I just convinced that like you think you've been watching and understanding hockey this whole time, but really, you were just like trying to fit a microwave into an uncooked bag of popcorn and like, I can't find the button. Like, yeah, you got it all wrong, dude. Like, you don't, I just don't understand how you can't see the greater imagery in all of this and the metaphor for life. Like, it was very emotional to get rid of these players. But if it is in the name of further success, you look at it like Yzerman, it's like, well, both of those guys kind of came as roundabout additions to other deals, and I didn't draft them,
right?
So it's a lot easier for me to just ship them off and see where we go from there. So I don't know. I just for the excitement factor, I would really like if we make some move to bring someone to Detroit by tomorrow. But knowing our general manager and also knowing just if you're trading, right, trading during the trade deadline as a seller to then get something in return just for the future is like buying, I don't know, like a winter jacket right before a snowstorm. Like you can wait till summertime and shit's not going to be as expensive.
Right.
The inflation isn't going to be as crazy, you know? So I could totally see Yzerman waiting until like draft day in June or July, whenever the hell they have it. COVID changed everything, right? So now no one knows when anything's fucking happening.
I would still say the only thing, the other option would be for Yzerman to trade a couple different picks grouped together for one better pick. So say we trade a first conditional and a second to a really dog shit team like the Ducks and get their first round pick. And then we get Connor Bedard.
That is, I love that idea, but I think we both know that that's like, well, it's fantasy. So we may as well write in the fact that the two hottest people in the zombie movie survive at the end. Like it's super unlikely,
yeah, for sure.
But hey, it's our fantasy, so we can do whatever the fuck we want, right?
Yeah.
Which whatever. In that case, it's like, why would you even have a zombie problem to begin with?
If it's your fantasy,
just call the movie. Everything's cool, and the two hot people make up right. And fuck or whatever. So
yeah.
In that regard, like yeah, nobody is going to be trading away their shot at Connor Bedard.
No.
For a shot at like the fifth best and seventh best kids after Connor Bedard.
Right.
So that shit ain't happening. We could certainly.
A boy can dream.
And all we got to do is find a boy. We certainly can like pool some picks together. But again, this all comes back to like that idea that we don't have, the Red Wings don't have in the pipeline that kid who's like renowned, because if he was in the pipeline he wouldn't be in the pipeline, he'd be on the team. If we had a, you know, Kaprizov or Pasternak or McDavid type or Connor Bedard or anything like that, like he wouldn't be in the pipeline, he'd be in a wing wheel,
right.
So what do we do about that shit? I say we just count on the fact that when Draisaitl and McDavid's contracts are up, they don't want to stay in Edmonton.
I think getting Draisaitl would be fucking amazing.
Yeah, because they're like the only team in the league that has the option or just has two fucking elite centers besides what, Malkin and Crosby?
Yep.
And they saw.
Extra gloves.
had a pair of extra gloves this whole time.
Yeah, we're in the Rockies.
I'm gonna kill you, Lloyd. Yeah. What?
That's great.
We're gonna not cut this part
I'm
out.
I'm gonna derail everything.
I suggest you guys
make no sense. On, doesn't matter.
Yeah, go on a, you know, just go watch. You guys go can all log into my Vudu if you want. go on our website. And if you type in Eric's middle name and, you know, the rest of his name, too,
because you all know that
in that order. Right. You will get a discount of any sort that you want. It's a conditional discount. So you decide if you want it or not.
I decide if they want it or not.
Discount.
Right. Use my login. Right. Use my login to whatever streaming platform I'm thinking of, and you know, watch Jim Carrey movies. Watch the one that Evan just referenced without saying anything because he's just sitting there. I see you clean that room up a little bit, like there's nothing behind you.
Yeah, our pet's heads are falling off.
Yeah, he traded it. Harry, I took care of it.
All right, time to move on.
Goodbye, Max. Shit.
Goodbye, yeah. Max. So,
we have one more morning, noon, and slight afternoon to see how the rest of this shakes out. And for anyone out there who is rooting for your team to make you feel a little bit more happy, just remember that when you don't make the playoffs, there's literally nothing to look forward to until June.
Alcohol. The problem and solution to all of life's problems.
Except for babies.
Cut it.
You just said the problem and solution to all of life's problems.
Damn it.
Did you get a haircut?
No. It just looks like I have a pompadour because shit's all...
Yeah, I just, I don't know, you're a little bit less HD than usual.
Oh, well, sorry, DD.
I haven't hit stop you yet. Should. This is great.
Well, yeah, I have a Where's Waldo thing.
Cod and
Eric hasn't spotted it at all thus far. So Where's Waldo? I'm just saying, you had your chance, little brother.
Oh, it was in the background. Fuck me. No,
guess you'll need another chance. All right. You guys, we're going to stay up. We're going to keep recording, but everyone listening, you guys should go to bed.
Yep.
So this good is night, adult time,
John boy.
This is fuzzy adult no-no time.
Good
times.
Night, John boy. Good
damn
night,
it. John. God, masturbate this house.
Thank you so much for listening to today's episode. We want to invite you to rate and review Do for a Sharpening on your favorite listening platform. Find us on Instagram at Do for a Sharpening and visit us on the web at doforasharpening.com. Today's podcast was hosted by Eric and Dan Riley, produced and edited by Evan Marlowe, social media provided by Keely Marlowe, and the music comes from Marquette, Michigan-based Sophomore Slump. Thanks for listening, everyone. And we'll see you next time. Why would you? Why would you?